Hello, everybody. It's Terry Mize. You know, I was raised in West Texas back in the 50s and 60s, so I had to deal with rattlesnakes all the time. I mean, walking to school, walking back from school, going outside to play, walking out in my backyard, going in the garage. I had a friend of mine even went to take a shower and tried to shut the shower curtain, and it wouldn't shut. And he looks up, and there's a rattlesnake wrapped around the shower. I mean, I hate them. I despise them. And when I see a rattlesnake, back then and today, it creates a visceral reaction on the inside of me. It makes me mad. In fact, I never met a rattlesnake I didn't kill. I carry my little friend with me here. If I met one today, I'd kill him today. And that's the way I feel about cancer. That's the way I feel about HIV. Somebody comes up to me in the prayer line and they say, Brother Terry, I've got cancer. Brother Terry, the doctor says I'm going to die. It makes me so mad. Not at the person, at the sickness and disease, because Jesus paid for our healing. We don't just have promises of healing in the Bible. We have purchases of healing in the Bible. Jesus paid in blood for our healing from every sickness, every disease. Psalms 91 says, no plague, no plague, no plague come nigh your dwelling. God hates sickness. Jesus hates sickness. I hate sickness, and I expect you to hate sickness, and we have to deal with it in the name of Jesus. The power of life and death, says the Bible, is in the tongue, so we need to decree death. Speak death to COVID. Speak death to cancer. Speak death to HIV. Speak death to leukemia, to lupus. You don't coexist with it. You don't say, well, I won't bother me and he won't bother me. No, a rattlesnake doesn't play that way. Neither does disease. You don't coexist with it. You curse it and speak death to it. And then by the same scripture, you speak life to yourself and life to the people you're praying for, the Zoe life of God. Thanks for this time. God bless you. You're more than conquerors. So all of heaven is watching the earth all the time, looking for a man or a woman that's going to use the Word of God, that's going to speak the Word of God, that's going to move on the Word of God. And when they do, heaven moves.
God bless you, and welcome today to Terry Mize Ministries program. We, as always, are thrilled to see you and share with you the good things from the Word of God. But, you know, these are things that really are necessary, Terry, to stay alive. Absolutely. Absolutely. And to do the work of God. Your life has such value, and God has invested so much in you. And not only is the covenant, we've been talking about these five smooth stones over the last several weeks, and the things that really matter in the kingdom of God, that are the equipment, you know, the weapons, sure, of your warfare, sure, are the name, the blood, the Word of God, the covenant that you have through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the awesome power of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, those aren't...
And not just the covenant through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, but God is a covenant God.
He is a covenant
God. He was doing covenant in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, right, right.
And then he cut covenant with Abraham. He cut covenant with Noah.
That's right.
God is a covenant God. That's why it's so vital that Christians get that, and they don't. Christians don't get that. And that's why I taught on that so strong, that you know, when you come against hell, when hell comes against you, when David went against Goliath,
yeah,
David used those five smooth stones.
Yes.
David used the name. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And yeah, then he used the blood.
Right.
And he, because he had the blood sacrifice. The Old Testament, right, they had the blood of Jesus, but they had the blood sacrifices. And I talked about that in those series we just finished.
That's right.
And so they were very familiar with the blood. And then he used the Word. And Goliath, David actually quoted Goliath the Word.
Yes.
Because he had been sitting out there all those years keeping those sheep and playing his harp.
Right.
You know, writing worship songs.
And yes,
and so he came back at him with the Word and quoted Second Chronicles 20 to him, quoted Deuteronomy 4 to him. He said, the battle is not mine, but the Lord's.
Yes.
He didn't say, I'm David. I come to you. I killed a lion and a bear. I'm going to kill you. No, no, no. He said, He said, God killed the lion and the bear, and the same God that delivered me from the paw of the lion and the bear will deliver me from this guy because he's uncircumcised. Wow. He has no covenant.
That's it.
David reused that phrase several times there, called him an uncircumcised Philistine. And in his brain, the only thing he was referencing to is the fact that the man has no covenant. He can't win. I have a covenant. I've been circumcised. God told Abraham, the covenant, the token of the covenant will be that you, not the covenant, but the token of the covenant is that you circumcise each male baby that's born on the eighth day.
Right.
And then they will have a covenant with me. So David said, I got the covenant.
Yeah.
I'm a winner. That guy didn't have a covenant. He's a
loser.
So David used, used the name. He used the blood. He used the word. He used the covenant. And then, of course, he used the power of the Holy Spirit. Although in the Old Testament, they didn't know to call it the power of the Holy Spirit. Right. They just knew that the Spirit of God came on them.
Right.
You know, it came on Samson. He killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. Then it lifted.
Right.
The Spirit of God came on Elijah, and he outran the king's chariots, and it lifted.
Right.
And so that same Spirit would come on them. It would go before them.
Right.
It would come after them, the Bible says. It would hover over them.
Yeah.
But it never lived in them. Where in the New Testament, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
That's right. That's
so it's so vital that we understand that this is covenant of a covenant God. And in all God's covenants, you can tell something about God's covenants. They're always going to involve blood.
That's important. Listen,
every covenant God does is going to be a blood covenant. Every covenant God does is going to be everlasting. It'll have no expiration date.
That's right.
It won't quit. Now, like the blood that Jesus used, the blood that they used in the Old Testament, that David was talking about was the atonement for sins, where the priest would take a scapegoat and put the sins of Israel symbolically on that goat's head and send him off to the wilderness.
Right.
But see, that expired after 1 year. It had an expiration date. It was the atonement. Israel still celebrates the atonement today. But in the New Testament, we don't have atonement. We have the remission of sins, which means they're wiped away forever. They're blotted out. They don't exist. They're not just covered up. And so therefore, they have no expiration date. They're deathless. So God's covenants have no expiration date. And then thirdly, God's covenants are not just with one person. It's with everybody in that lineage.
Right.
He said, Abraham, I will make this covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generation.
Hallelujah.
If he'd have just said, it's between me and you, Abraham, that wouldn't help me.
Right.
Abraham, it's just between me and you and your boy Isaac, that wouldn't help me. But he said, it's between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations.
Right.
So he's talking about you. And you say, yeah, but I'm not a Jew. I'm not a son of Abraham. Oh, no. Galatians 3:29 says, if you belong to Christ,
right.
If you're a Christian, if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So that covenant God cut with Abraham in Genesis 17 is still good to us today and working for us today. That's why I can go when I'm raising the dead or praying for somebody or having some crisis or some battle with the enemy, I can invoke the covenant because that covenant is still good. And that's what David did. He said, he said he knew he was a covenant God. And then, of course, the last thing was the power of the Holy Spirit.
You know, in the power of the Holy Spirit, David went out there because he knew how that power had come on him.
Exactly.
You know, to deal with the lion and the bear.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, as we're talking to the people today, you know, I mean, the whole thing is that all of this has been invested into you. And that's why your life is so valuable.
Absolutely.
And you must learn to stay alive. And you must learn how to use your faith. And you must learn how to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And you've got to do that. Your life is so important. I've been telling people everywhere, and then I want you to talk about these five basic needs, the seven things a Christian needs to learn how to do, all of these different things, because your life is so valuable. Philippians 1:10 says, God wants you, this is what the Apostle Paul's great prayer, saying that you've got to learn what is of value and what is of real necessary power in your life. The very words in here I think are fabulous. It says, so that you can sense what is vital. You can sense what is vital. You need to know what is vital. Your life is vital. The things that are going to make you a success as a Christian, Terry, is how to use your faith.
Exactly.
How to pray prayers that actually get answered. You know, how to fight against hell when everything looks hopeless and you feel helpless. God's there to work through you. As the power of the Holy Spirit is in you, God's put all that down in you, and it's for you to enact so that you can use your faith, learn how to pray.
Absolutely. Well, And I think that's why our programs are so important, because we're not just preaching sermons.
No, that's right.
Everything we're talking about is practical stuff.
Lifestyle.
Practical.
That's right.
Living every day.
Every single day.
Because the devil's going to come after you. He's going to come after you, your kids, your health, your money, your marriage, your business. He's going to come after everything you got. You have a target on your back.
He wants to kill, steal, and destroy everything.
We have to understand that. That's why we did these five smooth stones we've talked about, and that you can actually get them from our website and set them on your desk and look at them and remind yourself, I've got to use the name. I've got to use the blood. I've got to use the word. I've got to use the covenant. I've got to use the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
These are real rocks that have some weight on them. To sit there, and you can look at those when you see them. They're a reminder, just like the token of the covenant. These are a token of God's word.
That's right.
You know, and so the testimonies we tell are our testimony. We did it. We really been there.
We're actually alive and well to tell you about it today. We've survived our own life.
And so, when I minister, I try to minister. Well, let me put it like this. I've told pastors in pastors' conferences for decades. Overseas Indian pastors, African pastors, Asian pastors, Latin pastors, that I haven't had your office bugged electronically, but I know what your last 5, 10, 15, 100 counseling sessions were about. They weren't about Ezekiel's wheel within a wheel. They weren't about Daniel's 70 weeks. They weren't about the elders with the eyeballs and the horns at the altar in Revelation. What they were about was my husband's needs a job. My child's on drugs. I've got cancer. Brother Terry, we can't pay our electric bill.
Right.
My husband cheated on me. My wife's dying. We need to pay our rent. That's where people live. And I've always said, I've said, pastors, preach to people what they need.
That's right.
Don't preach them something off out here that they don't have to use on a daily basis. I mean, it's fun to study those things I just mentioned, but as far as nitty gritty, where the rubber meets the road, where you got to pay your bills,
it's,
and you got to keep your kids
life
out of the hospital, then I've always told pastors, look, the five basic needs of man are what I preach about all the time.
Right, right.
You got to have the roof over you. I don't care what country you live in.
That's right.
America, Canada, Botswana, Rhodesia, Zimbabwe now.
Yeah.
Anywhere in the world, you have to have
anywhere,
a roof over
everywhere.
You have to have a roof over your head.
That's number one.
You have to have clothes on your back. You have to have food on your table. You have to take care of your body, and you have to have a health. You have to take care of your family and have a healthy body. And if any one of those five get messed up, you're in trouble.
That's right. Anyone.
If you don't have a roof, you're in trouble. If you don't have clothes, you're in trouble. If you don't have food, you're in trouble. If you can't take care of your family, you're in trouble. And if you don't have a healthy body, you're in trouble. And so those five basic needs of man are where I stay all the time in my preaching. Like, here's how you can have a healthy body. Here's how you can win. Keep your kids out of the hospital. And then by the same token, years ago in crusades, I would get so many people saved, and by the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands, that I actually wrote a pamphlet I used in my crusades called Seven Things to Do After Salvation. And then I would have a new members class, a new converts class after my crusade, and I would teach that. Yeah. I would pass that out to all the thousands of people that got saved, and then I would teach it, that there's seven things you need to do after salvation. And so number one is baptism in water. And then I gave the scriptures to back that up, Acts 2:38, Acts 8, and Matthew 3:13. You know, Jesus was baptized in water. Give them scriptures of why they need to be baptized in water and how important that is.
Hallelujah.
And then number two, baptism in the Holy Spirit. Mm. And, of course, we go through all that in Luke 11, Acts 1:8, Acts 2:4, Acts 10:44, all those scriptures about speaking in tongues and how important that is. And then number three, you've got to read. You got to get you a Bible and read it and study it daily.
You
need to know what the Word says. Here's the Word right here. You got to have the Word.
That's right.
I don't know if you can see that or not.
And it's kind of find where it's written.
But you've got to have the Word.
Yeah, find scriptures that go with what you're dealing with.
If you need money, you find money scriptures. You need healing, you find healing scriptures.
Healing scriptures.
In marriage, you find marriage scriptures.
Children. Lots of scriptures on them.
Then number four, you've got to go to a Bible teaching church regularly. Don't just go to any church. Don't just go to where your mom and dad went. Go to a Bible teaching church, where the pastor will teach you the Bible in no uncertain terms and no compromise. And then number five, you need to have Christian friends. You may have to get rid of some of your friends. I had to get rid of my friends. And I was even a Christian.
Yeah.
And my friends were even Christians, but they were unbelieving and doubting Christians. You know,
unbelief is such a scary thing.
They were Christians wanting to play around the edges of sin. You know, I said, guys, I love you and you're my friends, but I can't be with you anymore. And so you have to have Christian friends because you want to build them up and you want them to build you up. Now, that doesn't mean don't witness to sinners.
Right.
You need to witness to sinners, but you need to have Christian friends.
That's right.
It's like don't date somebody that's not a Christian.
That's right. Don't even go there.
How dumb is that? And then number six, you need to pay your tithes and give your offerings. And I don't care who tells you it's not right. God will teach you how to handle the finances. If you're a tither and a giver, there's scriptures all over the Bible, like something like 3,000 scriptures on finances in the Bible.
Wow.
He knows more about it than anybody. And number seven, you've got to have a life of prayer. You absolutely have got to learn how to pray.
There it is.
So that you commune with God and talk to God. So between the five basic needs of man, of getting a roof over your head and clothes on your back and food on your table and take care of your family and have a healthy body, combined with these seven things here of being baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Ghost, reading and studying your Bible, go to Bible church, have Christian friends, pay your tithes and give offerings, learn how to live to give, and then have a life of prayer, that'll fix you up.
That's exactly right.
That'll make it where the devil doesn't want to mess with you.
Well, and that's what really the local church is for, the ministry is for, is to help you get to where you need to be.
Absolutely.
So that you're not floundering and flopping around out there in life and you don't know what to pray, you don't know what to say, you don't know how to handle your money, you're living in fear, and you're being an unfaithful Christian because you're not in church being taught, and you're just living a haphazard, sloppy Christian life. And it's not just the do's and the don'ts, it's the inward living from the inside out.
Well, absolutely.
That all this stuff is here in the Word of God to teach you about.
Absolutely.
And we just want to help you do that so that you're not, you have some more skill in that. I think it's, what is it, 1 Thessalonians 4:1 in the Amplified Bible, it says, so that you may have, greater skill, you may in living this life better, yeah. Like the Apostle Paul said.
And, starting pretty quick, we're getting ready to go to Australia.
Yeah.
And we're going to be in Australia for the last half of June and the first half of July.
Right.
And I don't go to first world countries a lot. I've been invited to them all my life, but I've really always wanted to be in the mission field, in the third world countries. The more primitive, the better. I used to go to villages and sleep in villages and eat monkey and stuff. And then the Lord started telling me to go in the cities and bring the pastors to me because I could cover more territory that way. But I do go every now and then when God tells me to a first world nation. And Australia's invited us again and have asked us to come for decades. And I do go every now and then. But this time we're going to go do a great conference there. And then as soon as the pastors there found out I was going to be there doing the conference, I started getting the invitation, come to my church. So we're going to be flying to Australia, and we're going to be going straight to Melbourne, which is in the south. Australia is the same size as the United States. It's 3,000 miles across and 1,500 miles deep. And so we'll be going to the bottom, to the south, into Melbourne. And then from Melbourne, we'll be going way west as far as you can go to Perth. And we'll be ministering to a great church there for Margaret Corr. Margaret, of course, has been a friend of mine for decades and decades. And when she was just a Bible school student, she got a tremendous supernatural creative miracle.
Yes, that's in right.
My
tremendous
meeting.
Testimony.
I preached a meeting in Australia, in Perth, Australia, in 1982 that lasted 10 and a half hours.
Yeah.
And she happened to be there. She was a Bible school student then. She had already had her great tennis career.
Right.
Margaret's got tennis records that'll never be broken, probably. If you Google Margaret Court, you just get pages. She won three Wimbledons, Grand Slams in France, Grand Slams in America. She's just won all kind of, that's back when athletes were athletes and didn't juice up,
Yeah,
and you just really were an athlete. And so we'll be preaching for Margaret because she's got a great church there and a great Bible school. So we'll be doing three services a day in the church and two services a day in the Bible school for several days. And then fly back all the way back across to Sydney or Victoria and have meetings there in Sydney and then up to the Gold Coast and minister in several churches there plus minister at the conference. And by that time, we'll have been there, almost a month. Or almost over 3 weeks. And so it's going to be a good trip. And that's what we're going to be teaching. We're going to be teaching these things on the how to live on planet Earth and when.
Right. Well, when you've done your pastor's conferences in all these different countries of the world, it's like you said, I think, earlier in the program, It's the same for every nation.
Sure
it's the same for every pastor. You're going to have a different dynamic, different flow, different culture, different governments and all these things that are around you, everything, customs and things that people live in every day. But yet the word is the same.
Yes, yes.
God never changes and the promises are true. And if we say God is no respecter of persons, it's that way with his word. He gives his word and his promises to everybody.
To everybody. That's
what this book is all about. This is for whosoever will. This is for anybody that'll pick it up and learn it.
To make them work, you've got to go back to these things.
Yeah.
You've got to go back here to the five smooth stones. You've got to use the name and the blood and the word and the covenant and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Each one of these represents a cachet of weapons for you. They're like five warehouses full of the attributes of the kingdom of God. And if you'll learn what the name of Jesus will do for you, if you will learn what the word of God will do for you, if you will learn from the great wealth of what the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will do for you, if you will learn from the word of God what covenant rights are, and then if you will learn about the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, oh my goodness, the richness of your soul and your faith will begin to produce things through your praying and using your faith together. You'll begin to see a richer, higher life for you and your family.
Absolutely. And, after we finish Australia, we've still got invitations to the South Pacific, to New Zealand and to Pago Pago and to Vanuatu and to Fiji and to Samoa. And then, of course, we're doing a great pastor's conference in Israel in September.
Right.
And then we're going to do a pastor's conference in Malta. Hopefully we can do those at the same time because they're in the same neighborhood of the part of the world. And when we do Malta, when we do pastor's conferences in Malta, Renee, it's always so much fun because we get pastors coming down from Africa.
No, up from Africa. Up from Africa.
Excuse me, up from Africa, from Tunisia, from Egypt, from Libya, and then down from Europe.
That's right.
From Spain and from Italy and from Greece. And so we just have a great conglomeration mixture of pastors, of languages and cultures and customs, where we can just teach them all these
wonderful truths from the Word of God. And
then, of course, our Romania.
You've got Honduras.
Oh, yeah. No, we're coming straight back from Australia into Honduras, into San Pedro Sula. I had a crusade in San Pedro Sula, Honduras, when I was 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It was in February of 1975.
It's almost 40 years.
And we had 25,000 people in the crowd. I was 25 years old. We had more blind eyes open we could possibly count, more deaf ears open we could possibly count. People running to the platform saying, "I can see, I can see, I can hear, I can hear." I jerked a guy off of a deathbed. He was dying with cancer, skin and bone in the belly. Was bloated in that final stages of cancer and excruciating pain, cancer of the bone, which is one of the worst there is. And I went and jerked him up off that cot and said, "Get up and walk in the name of Jesus." God healed him. He ran all over the place and came back and gave his testimony. Another guy hadn't been out of a wheelchair in 30 years. I went over there and jerked him up out of that wheelchair to get up and walk. And he took off running, ran around. They always run. He ran around the crusade grounds, So that was all those many years ago. And then I've been since then. But then now I'm looking forward to going back again in the latter part of July. To San Pedro Sula, and we're going to do a Full Gospel Businessmen's World Convention. The old Full Gospel Businessmen's organization used to be such a huge thing, and it's still around. It's bigger now overseas than it is in the United States.
Right.
But their World Convention, I'm the keynote speaker this year in San Pedro, and then we're going to do a one-day crusade, one-day open-air crusade. They're figuring on maybe 10,000 people being there, so there'll be blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, cripples walk, that sort of thing, devils cast out. And then right after that, same week, we'll do a pastor's conference. I'll put on my own pastor's conference where I'll train those pastors in these same things we've been talking about.
That's right.
And then in Romania, our pastor's conference in Romania with the gypsy pastors will be coming up later in the fall. So we've got a serious schedule. We got things to do.
Yes, we do.
And while we're sitting here, we're in Central Texas today, Plano. And it's blue bonnet season, and we've been seeing lots of pretty blue bonnets, and we'll be able to see lots more here in the next few days. But It's always a fun time. Jackie and I used to come down and look at the Blue Bonnets. You and Dean used to come down and look at the Blue Bonnets.
It's just gorgeous. Wonderful
memories. Now you and I come down and look at the Blue Bonnets.
Wonderful memories.
And so it's
and the Strawberry Festival, as we forget.
Absolutely. You know, to a Texan, Blue Bonnets are a big deal.
That's right.
And, Texans like them and rattlesnakes like them.
So, oh, that's right.
So we have to make sure we don't run into any of the latter. Although I did buy you a really great pair of snake boots.
Yes, you did. Yes. Everybody needs a pair of snake boots. Well, our time is gone for today, and we're so glad that you have joined us. And we're praying that these things that we've said from the Word of God are going to do a tremendous ministry to you and reminder of how valuable your life is. Don't let hell kill you. Stay alive. Learn these things from the Word of God. There's a future. There's a reward. And we've got to win some souls on our way out the door.
Remember, we pray for our partners every day, every day, multiple times a day, and we'd ask you to pray for us. We've got a pretty serious schedule, as you just heard, so we'd appreciate all your prayers. And we want you to know that we love you, and we're for you, and we appreciate you helping us do what we do, and you are
more than conquerors. Bye-bye.
Did you ever think that God's sitting on high looking down on you and dishonoring, disrespecting, not thinking much about you? You know, God said to me when I was just a teenager, He said, I told Joshua to do three things, that if he'd do those three things, that he would prosper and be healthy. At that time, I'd never heard anybody in my church talk about prosperity. I'd never talk about anybody being successful. And God said, if you'll do those same three things, you will be prosperous, you will be successful. And so I immediately went to Joshua 1:8 to see what God told Joshua. And he said, talk like God, think like God, act like God. If you'll do those three things, you will be prosperous and you will have great success. It absolutely changed my life and it'll change your life. God said, don't let anything from this book of the law not depart from your mouth. Don't let anything come out your mouth but the word. In other words, talk like God. Then he said, meditate that day and night. I mean, not once in a while, not twice a day, but he said all the time, meditate the word of God day and night. And thirdly, he said that you may observe to do, or to be a doer of the word, to do according to all that's written therein. And then you shall make your way prosperous and you shall have good success. That was just before I went into the mission fields permanently as an 18-year-old kid, and it changed my life. And I've been all over the world, lived in the jungles, lived in the desert, lived everywhere, watched God do miracles, and He's prospered me and made me successful, kept me healthy, saved me. He'll do the same thing for you. Get in the Word today and do those three things.
In this powerful, best-selling mini-book, God's Opinion of You, Terry Mize explains biblical foundations on how to receive and use the authority God has given you. A mini-book that fits in your pocket, but packs a big punch. You'll learn to see yourself how God sees you. Righteous, blessed, more than a conqueror. Get your copy today at terrymize.com.